message and made very personal. Our Old Testament scripture this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, on page 735 in your pew Bible. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. And then the New Testament reading is from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 10, in the New Testament section on page 220. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's not Warren's fault, but the sign should read out there, Jesus saves. But when you hear the phrase, Jesus saves, what does that mean to you? Jesus saves. It's not just pablum. It's not just something we say. It's not just something that, we say because we're Christians, right? Jesus saves. That's the most important piece. If we know nothing else, we know Jesus saves. Out of his love, out of his affection. But there's a lot more to that. Yes, it is an essential part. It is an essential part of who we are and whose we are. But so often we just assume that that's all there is to it. Jesus saves, and we can just continue doing what we want to do. Because Jesus saves us. Jesus went to the cross, died for us, the sin debt's paid. There's nothing. There's no obligation that we have to do anything. Well, not for our salvation, because Jesus does it all. His sacrifice was the full and total expiation, total payment for our sin debt. As the high priest, and as We don't know who the author of Hebrews is exactly. Some people say Paul. Some people think Apollos. Some people even think that maybe Priscilla. Look in Acts, Priscilla and Aquila, who supported Paul in a lot of his ministries, that possibly Priscilla may have influenced Apollos to write this. Nonetheless, Hebrews 5, verse 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." The interesting thing is, whoever the author is, he's writing to a Jewish community who is becoming Christian. Well, this Jewish community has their foundation in Jewishness, in the sense that the temple, in understanding the temple and how the sin debt was paid, only the high priest, and only on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in to the Holy of Holies. After he's made a sin sacrifice for his own sin, then he would go in and make an offering for the people of all of Jerusalem, Judea, for all Jews. Well, Jesus has taken the place of that high priest. We know when he died on the cross, and he says it's finished, and the darkness falls over Jerusalem. And at that same time, there's a crack of thunder, and the curtain in the temple between the Holy of Holies and the outer court was rent, torn asunder from top to bottom. Jesus is our new high priest. Jesus is the one who makes the offering for us. Jesus is the only one who can make the offering for us. And because Jesus made it for us, we don't have to make it anymore. Because if we could earn salvation by our good deeds, then why did Jesus go to the cross? Because we can't, he had to. And because he did, there's no way we can, if I do a bunch of good deeds, then I've earned a good relationship with Jesus. No. We accept that Christ paid the full price for us. We're in Lent. We're leading up to Easter. Yes, we want to celebrate because Easter's happened and we're past the Pentecost time frame in our celebration in our lives. But in the tradition in the Christian year, we're focusing on what it is that Christ did, what it is that God intended for him to do, and what he's doing for us each and every day, and how that should affect our lives, and how it affects our lives should affect how we love one another. What did Jesus tell us to do? What did he say was the great commandment? Love one another, but first and foremost was what? Love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. And the second, no less than the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. And he says all the commandments are fulfilled in that. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. Not to earn salvation, but because we've been saved. Max Lucado in he chose the nails Lenten study that we've been working with last week. Two terms that he used, positional sanctification and gradual or progressive sanctification. The positional sanctification is the fact that Christ has made us right with God. Now, who did that? Not me. Jesus did. He did it 2,000 years ago. He put us in a right relationship with God. Then there's the progressive sanctification. That's that process where you and I gradually and continuously are transformed. By what? By the Holy Spirit. To do what? To be what it is that Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit have intended us to be. We're not always who we were. Our hope and prayer is that we improve. In Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the hope for things not yet seen, or the faith is the hope for things not yet made evident. That's our hope. I'm not perfect yet. I know you're shocked, right? I am nowhere close to being perfect yet. Hopefully he gives me a long time to do there, to perfect it, what he has in store for me. But the fact of the matter is, it's the direction and headed towards the fact that we're following Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Those, the words for that hymn. It's not that I'm perfect, but I'm following Jesus. It's not that I've already reached it. It's that I'm heading towards it. Salvation is there because Christ Jesus died for me. Because Christ Jesus, as the high priest, two things about the high priest. The high priest, A, had to be a human. Jesus is human. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And nothing was created out. And He took on flesh. The Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. God with us. Emmanuel. The other piece is He has to be appointed by God. Two times in Scripture we hear where God declares Jesus as His Son. Baptism by John the Baptist. As He's coming out of the waters, the dove, like the Holy Spirit, like a dove, descends, and this voice, "This is my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased." And then the Mount of Transfiguration, with James and John and Peter are there, and Jesus is there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and He's bathed in this brilliant light, and they hear this voice, "This is my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him." We have that positive affirmation that Jesus is the high priest for us. The other piece, so He's human, and He was appointed by God. Verse 7, in the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save Him, verse 7, from death, and He was heard because of His reverent submission. The other piece that makes Him the perfect high priest, the other condition that the high priest had to have when he enters the Holy of Holy, after he's made an offering for his own sin, and as he's offering a sin payment sacrifice for everyone in Jerusalem, every Jew throughout humanity, is the contrite heart. God doesn't owe us anything. But He loves us in spite of who we are. The relationship is we owe love and worship to God. And He loves us. And when the high priest goes in and offers the sacrifice with a contrite heart, recognizing that our lives have not been as God wants us to be. Anybody in here perfect? No, I don't think so. I know there's some of you that are pretty close. Bob's not here today, but and put Betty Ann on your prayers. She's not been feeling well. It's pneumonia or allergies, I think. Which is hitting a lot of people. But when you look at that, in the days of His flesh, that tells us that Jesus is human. He takes on flesh. He comes and dwells among us. He is truly one of us. And because of that, He's able to offer prayers and supplications. Supplications, you think, when you think of the term prayers and supplication, what comes to mind? Prayers, it's a conversation. And how many of you, prayers have become a 911? You know, it's like, "Lord, help me. I'm in trouble. Again. And Lord, if You'll only do this, I'll do this." Prayer and a conversation with God should be two-way. And I, like most of you, need to shut up more and listen more. Thanks, Warren. But it's true. But Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who is able to save Him from death, And he was heard. Why? Because of his reverent submission. It was the way in which, the manner in which Jesus offers the prayers. And think about that. How's the Lord's Prayer go? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All of it is, we're offering a petition, not, oh, hey, Lord, if it's convenient, or because I really need that, I really would like you to. It's recognizing the seriousness of the relationship, recognizing the level of need that I have for his love and forgiveness. And although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. There are only 6 verses here. But when you look at Hebrews chapter 5, what he's saying in 7 and 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. We recognize that Jesus Christ came from God. We know the Holy Trinity tells us God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity, co-equal and co-eternal. There was never a time that they weren't. We can't wrap our heads around the fact that God could take on flesh in Jesus Christ and be with us and die for us. And then he goes to heaven, and God sends the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be with us. But in all of this, because even though he was the Son of God, Jesus himself calls himself the Son of Man. Peter says, Son of God. So many of the apostles, so many other people declare Jesus the Son of God. John the Baptist says, this is the Lamb of God in whom all are saved. But Jesus calls himself the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of Man, because he's human. And that's how he can bear our sin on the cross and give up his life for us. He learned obedience through what he suffered. I mean, if he was truly God, then nothing that happened on earth was going to affect him because he's God. Nothing that, you know, oh, he stubbed his toe. Oh, you know, he was hurt or, you know, he was hungry. None of that stuff affected him, right? No, he was truly human. He hungered. He thirsted. And yet he never relinquished. He never gave up. He was made perfect. And because he was perfect, he was made the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Because he was perfect, because he was the perfect sacrifice for you and for me, no other sacrifice needs to be made. It's just what we need to be doing for our brothers and sisters because of what Christ has already done for us. As we contemplate and meditate and think about who Jesus Christ is, we recognize within the construct of Lent how great a price God, through Christ, with the Holy Spirit, paid for our salvation, for your salvation, for my salvation. And because I owe, because I'm put in this relationship, or because Christ Jesus did this all for me, then I should be willing to do something for my brothers and sisters. Not in a thought or a way to earn salvation, but because I'm saved out of the joy and overwhelming of God's love towards us, we treat our brothers and sisters as brothers and sisters. And we love God and serve him all the days of our lives. Shalom.